say amen.
Amen.
The church say amen again.
Amen.
One more time for the Holy Spirit. God bless your saints and God keep you. We say it all the time, every Sunday. Praise the Lord for the praises of God. Thank God for the prayers of God. And now we stand to preach the kingdom of God. Amen. In the blessed name of Jesus. Won't you stand to your feet with me? We welcome those of you who are coming in and sharing with us in this worship experience. And it is indeed our prayer that what is said and what is done will continue to edify and to sanctify the people of God. I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Samuel, chapter number 1, verses 26, 27, and 28. 1 Samuel, chapter number 1, verses 26, 27, and 28. The Bible says in verse number 26, "And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord. For this child I pray, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him. Therefore I also, verse 28, therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. So they worshiped the Lord there." Here ends the reading of God's divine and eternal word. May it edify and may it sanctify God's people. Before I take the title of my sermon, I want you to look at verse number 19. Go look at verse number 19 in chapter 1. It says, "Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her." It is those words that I want to capture today as the title of today's sermon. "And the Lord remembered Hannah." So I want you all to repeat this after me. The Lord remembers you.
The Lord remembers you.
Now personalize it. The Lord remembers me. And that's what I want you to remember after this sermon is said and done. Let us pray together. Father, may these words that you've written in these scriptures, may they not return void, but may they illuminate minds. May they encourage hearts. May they convict somebody's soul. Bring someone closer to you, either for the first time, that they may yield in submission to your eternal gift of grace and the salvation of life, God. I pray that those who already know you, if they are not in a church, that they would come and unite with this branch of Zion. But either way, God, I pray that you would convict somebody's soul right now. Draw them nigh unto thee. Cover us all under the blood of Jesus. Hide us all behind the cross of Jesus. And let the anointing fall fresh in this place, O God, we pray. And now I ask, and I ask all of us to say these words. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your eyesight. O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us say together, amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So I want that to become, as an aside, I want that statement out of Psalm 19, verse 14, to become a staple part of what we do before I take my sermonic presentation. It is part of the sermonic prayer, because on whatever side of that prayer you're on, may the words of my mouth, the one who's preaching, or the meditations of my heart, the one who's receiving, may it all be acceptable, right, in God's holy and divine eyesight. We want to receive what God has prepared for us to receive, and we want to give what God has prepared for us to give. We are taking a break from our quote-unquote D-free Bible not a D3 Bible study series. We're still doing that during the week. But today, because of the obvious importance of Mother's Day, I want to stop and pause and give reflection to all of the mothers who are with us. And so the sermon is not going to be in the spirit of the book or out of chapter 4, which is what we're reading this week. But the sermon is going to be on a very familiar woman of Scripture whose name we know as Hannah. Hannah is one of the many women the Bible speaks of as being barren, the unable to bring forth her own biological children. And I have preached many sermons about other women in Scripture who have been barren, but I've also preached sermon about Hannah. And yet this sermon today is really, again, reflective of the fact that we, as many times we preach a text, there's always new information, new inspiration to glean and to learn from the particular text. And so although Hannah has been preached by me and others, I want you to listen carefully to this text on this day and ask God the question, what is it that you're speaking to me, God? Hannah is a unique woman in the Scripture because not only of the son that she to whom she gives birth, whose name we will come to know as Samuel, but Hannah's prayer is absolutely powerful. And so it is these three words that I want to share with you today. I want to talk about Hannah's difficulty. What is it? What was it that Hannah was dealing with that made her life so challenging, filled with so much trauma and travail at the time of this particular experience that we encounter her during which we encounter her in Scripture? Hannah's difficulty. I want to talk about Hannah's defiance. One could say Hannah's determination, because Hannah was defiant in not listening to the messages that were being bombarded on her or towards her, but she was determined to listen to the message of God. Amen, somebody. And then the third point I wish to leave with us today is Hannah's devotion, because it is absolutely inspiring to learn from how Hannah devoted herself to her God and to her Creator and looked beyond what was and saw what God had for her in the blessed name of Jesus. Although today's sermon is particularly to the mothers, there is a message in here to the fathers, and there is a message in here to every man and every woman, every boy and every girl under the sound of my voice. Let's deal first with, and I'm going to juxtapose the last three scriptures of the chapter and go back in time to inform you about how did Hannah get to where she is. And so I want to talk first out of Hannah's difficulty. And if you look at verse number 25, the scripture says, in verse number 26, the scripture says, "And she said, O my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman who stood by you here praying to the Lord." I want to ask the question, what was Hannah praying for? About what was Hannah praying against, or against what Hannah was praying, and then what was embodied and embedded in Hannah's prayer? She's speaking to the priest whose name we know as Eli. Some may say in Hebrew, Eli. And that Eli, the priest, was the priest that was in charge of the temple that to whom Hannah was attending, or where Hannah was attending, and to whom she was using and affiliating through her relationship with God. It was Eli the priest that was making a atonement, if you would, for the sins of the people of God during this time. It was still a sacrificial system, so the priest held tremendous importance in the lives of God's people. This is pre-Christian. This is pre-Christ. This is pre-Jesus. And so Hannah was relying on the direction and instruction of the priest to help her in her daily walk with her God, with Jehovah, with Elohim, with the God of creation and the God of life. And so it is, why was it that Hannah is reminding Eli, or Eli the priest, it was me who is standing here praying. What was her prayer? And really her prayer was dealing with the difficulty, the complex difficulty of her situation. Number one, if you go back to verse number 6, you will find that that part of Hannah's difficulty was that there was someone else in this relationship that Hannah had with Elkanah, her husband, and a woman by the name of Peninnah. And Peninnah, regardless of kind of what our contemporary standards of relationship and marriage and what those standards were then, how we've come to understand these relationships, Elkanah was her husband, and Peninnah was able to have children, and Hannah was not. And so, first thing, Hannah was barren. As I've said so many times before, we need to be careful on how we speak about this issue of barrenness, because I believe in today's society, unlike in that society of that day, we find in this day a great identity that goes along with the ability to have children. And that if a woman was not able to have children, if she was known as barren, it was somehow thought of, it was a negativity on her, cast upon her. Whereas today, I want to be clear that if a woman is unable to have children in 2012, we need to be careful and mindful that we do not make that somehow a negative stigma upon that woman, because we don't know the mind of God and why God does what God does and God has allowed what God has allowed. And I want to be careful with certain mothers that they understand, or women that they understand, they are somehow not less than a woman if indeed they are not able to bring children into this world. And part of fact, part of the unique opportunity might be that you're now able to help shepherd and love and to grow somebody else's children, whether they are in your family or whether they are adopted into your family, right? And so I want to be mindful of how we speak about this conversation around barrenness, the inability to bring forth children into the world. But suffice it to say that in Hannah's day, this was the issue. Hannah was among many biblical women who somehow it was seen as if it was a curse almost that they were not able to bring children into the world. And so that was part of Hannah's difficulty. In verse number 6, there is Peninnah who talks about Hannah and really casts aspersion on Hannah and her ability to not bring children into the world. So somehow she was elevated in her relationship to Elkanah, while Hannah was demoted in her relationship to Elkanah. And again, this is part of Hannah's difficulty. But here's the challenge. Whether the message is being told by society or somebody else, or whether the message is being told by us to ourselves, we need to be mindful of the difficulties of listening to other folks' messaging about us. Come on, somebody. Somebody's going to have some words that are not always so kind towards you. Somebody is not always going to speak in your favor. Somebody is always going to cast aspersion on your good name. But how many of you know the power of prayer, that if you take it to the Lord can remove that aspersion and remind you not to listen to everybody, but to listen to God. Hannah had to determine whether she was going to listen to Peninnah, whether she was going to listen to what society has to say, or take it even a step further. Go over to verse number 12 and 13 and 14. The Bible says, even Eli the priest thought she was drunk because in her prayer she opened her mouth, but there were no words that came out. Isn't that something that even the priest cast an aspersion? I don't think the priest was intending to be difficult or to be demeaning to Hannah, but it is interesting to me that Hannah had to bear the weight of the world, bear the weight of this issue of barrenness, bear the weight of other folk talking about her, bear the weight of other folk casting aspersions on her good name. And I am sure that there's more than one mother here that has had to bear the weight of others who have not always held her in high esteem. But I'm so glad today that there are mothers sitting in these pews who know something about the Lord on her side. That there are mothers in these pews who know not to listen to what other folk had to say, but to listen to what God has to say. But I also know that there are mothers who are bearing difficulties. Whether it is difficulties in your marriage, whether it is difficulties with your children, whether it is difficulties in your life, difficulties in your body, your health care, your mental health, your physical health, what's going on in your household. But I just stopped by to tell some mother today to keep holding on to the Lord, because the Lord knows all about your difficulties that you are bearing. Amen, somebody. Not only is Hannah bearing difficulties, but I want you to understand how she responds to her difficulties. She responds with a tremendous display of determination and defiance. If you look at verse number 27, the Bible says, "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition, which I asked of him." Here was Hannah's prayer. She was specific in her prayer. If you look over to verse number 10 and 11, verse 11, it says, "Then she made a vow and said, Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a male child, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head." And I want you to understand that what Hannah prayed for was specific. I'm a big believer that we have not because we ask not. The Bible says, tell the Lord, speak to the Lord, come before the Lord, come but be approach his throne of grace boldly, that you might find help in your time of difficulty and your time of need. If you're bearing a difficulty, mother, I want you to speak it to the Lord. And I don't want you just to be general about it. I want you to tell God all about it. I want you to be specific. God, there's something going on in my marriage. I need you to rebuke this demon right now in the name of Jesus. God, there's something going on with my children. I call that demon of drug addiction out. I call that demon of heroin. I call that demon of crack. I call it by name. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Some of you are going through breast cancer in your bodies. I need you to speak to the Lord and call that thing specifically. Lord, if it is your will, remove this breast cancer out of my body. Take it away from me, God. Yeah. Hannah said, remember me, God. And I need some woman here today, and I need some man here today to take the lesson from this mother, Hannah, prayer, and be specific about what it is you are going through and what you are bearing. I'm a believer that God doesn't always give us everything we want, but if you are in the Lord and your prayer is sincere, I believe God will hear your prayer and he will attend to your cry, and the devil will have to flee if you call that thing out by name. I need somebody who knows something about standing on the promises of God, and despite your situation, despite your adversity, despite your difficulty, you know that God has not forgotten about you yet. Hannah
Hannah spoke to the Lord and she told God all about her difficulty. But here's the part I like about this second point of determination and defiance. She had to stop listening to what everybody else had to say about her. And I know too many folk who take their cues from what everybody else has to say as opposed to listening to what God has to say about our situation. There are too many of your so-called friends who are not really your friends, because if they were your friend, they would speak life into your situation. They would speak your good and not your being your downfall. They would be there to help build you up and not tear you down. But how many of you know not everybody wants you to be happy? And you've got to make a determination. Mother or sister or grandmother, who are you going to listen to today? Hannah was defiant and she said, I know who I am. I'm not going to listen to what Penina has to say. I'm not going to listen to what they have to say. All that matters is what God has to say. And how many of you know today, stop listening to the negative messages of your girlfriends and of your sister friends and of your so-called friends, and start listening to the messages of a friend that was closer than a brother. All that matters is what God has to say. But even more than that, even the priest has something to say, as I've already said. Use your sanctified imagination. In verse number 12 and 13, the Bible says that Hannah was praying to the Lord. Her lips were moving, but no words were coming out. And the priest was looking at this, and he determined that maybe Hannah was inebriated. In other words, maybe she was drunk. Maybe she was out of her right mind. But how many of you know, when you've gone through the trials and tribulations, and you have been on the rough side of mountains, and you have been down in the valley, sometimes you've got to encourage yourself. And everybody doesn't need to hear your prayer, because the Bible says he who sees in secret will reward you openly. Come on, somebody. Hannah was praying to the Lord, but she was talking in her spirit through herself to God and saying, Lord, you know all about my situation. You know all about my tribulation. You know all about my trial. You know all about my trash. But God, I'm speaking, but I'm not speaking to anybody. I'm speaking to you. So forget about what they say, and I need you to hear what I'm trying to say. The Bible says that Hannah was speaking, but no words were coming out. And I am convinced, beloved of God, that everybody doesn't have to know what you need. Come on, somebody. It's all right to take confidence in some folk, but you better make sure you're taking confidence in God before you're taking confidence in anybody else. And when the priest misunderstood her situation, Hannah reminded the priest, I'm not drunk. I'm just having a conversation with my God. And when you're talking to God, come on, somebody, it does not matter what anybody else has to say about it. When you're talking to God, it doesn't matter what anybody else have to know about it. When you're talking to God, all that matters is that God hears my prayer, that God knows all about it. You can call me what you want, call me drunk, call me crazy, but as long as the Lord is on my side, I'm gonna stand on the promises of God, because I know that he can move mountains out of my way. Hannah was speaking, but no words were coming out. There's a song that Sister Betty in the choir sings that talks about encouraging yourself. See, when other folk have done you wrong and messed you over, you've got to encourage yourself. You got to tell yourself, self, I'm more than a conqueror. Self, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Self, I am better than this situation. Self, God died for me. Self, Lord stepped into my lion's den. Self, God stepped into my fiery furnace. Encourage yourself. Has anybody had to encourage themselves lately? To remind themselves that God knows all about what's going on. That God has not forgotten you. And that word, that phrase is so powerful. The Lord had not forgotten her. Because sometimes when you're going through difficulties, it can seem like God has forgotten about you, doesn't it? When you're unemployed and you've been seeking out job application after job application, Lord, have you forgotten about me? When you've been on bended knee and asking the Lord to heal your body of this medical situation, Lord, have you forgotten about me? As you and your husband are going through your trials and your tribulations, Lord, have you forgotten about me? But I just stopped by to tell some mother today, on Mother's Day, some woman today, on Mother's Day, some brother today, on Mother's Day, the Lord has not forgotten about you. God said, I am Emmanuel. I am God with you. And if I'm with you, I'm more than the world against you. Emmanuel. I have not forgotten about you. And so that is a word of encouragement to some mother today, that God has not forgotten about you. I know you're dressed up and you have your nice bonnet on. You got your new dress on. But I know deep down inside there's some mothers here who've been on the rough side of mountains. And you're wondering, has God forgotten about you? But I just stopped by to remind you. You just keep holding on to God's unchanging hand. You just keep standing on the premises and the promises of God. And sooner rather than later, the Lord is going to step into your situation. He's going to move the mountain. He's going to build the bridge. He's going to put the enemies under your feet. He's going to open that door that no man can shut sooner rather than later. I need somebody who's going to stand on the promises. Hannah had difficulty, but she took her difficulties to the Lord. She didn't tell everybody about it because everybody's not able to handle your dreams. Not everybody's able to handle your prayers. Be careful who you tell stuff to. You better make sure you're talking to God first. But after that, I want you to notice Hannah's devotion. In verse number 28, it says, let's put these texts up there. It says in verse number 28, therefore, I know you're not able to read it behind me, but I want you to just read it in your scripture. It says, therefore, I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord. I want you to look at verse number 18 and verse number 19. Go back in chapter 1 and look at what 18 has to say. 18 says, and she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. Then they rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned and came to their house at Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. See, I need you to understand that Hannah was praying for her son. But ritually and regularly, Hannah, Elkanah, and his family went up to the priests. And they made worship to God. And here's the part I want you to really notice about Hannah. Hannah, before she got her prayer answered, before young Samuel was born, before the baby was delivered, before she got the reality for which she was praying. The Bible says in verse 19, and they worship God. I love that part, because the baby had not been born, but the worship was still sowing the seed. You're not getting the message, are you? Before Samuel came forth, the Bible says that Hannah kept on worshiping God. And here's my point. Too many of us wait until the blessing comes and the prayer is answered before we get to worshiping God. But Hannah did not wait until the blessing came. Hannah began to worship God before Samuel was born. And here's what I know the Lord wants. The Lord doesn't want some sometimey Christians. The Lord doesn't want any fickle Christians. Praise me when you get what you want. Curse me when you don't get what you want. The Lord is looking for some consistent Christians who know how to praise Him before the breakthrough comes, who know how to praise Him before the delivery happens, who know how to praise Him before the baby is manifested. You're on this side of your blessing. You're on this side of the rough mountain. You're on this side of the valley, but you're still praising Him. You're unemployed and you're praying for a job, but you're still praising Him. You're barren, you're praying for a baby, but you're still praising Him. You still got cancer in your body and you've not yet gone through chemotherapy, but you're still praising Him. You're praising Him before the breakthrough happens. Come on, somebody. Here's what I love about Joshua, my friend Joshua again. The Bible says when Joshua went over into the promised land, and the Bible says that God directed him to take the city of Jericho, the Bible says Joshua marched around the city, not one time, not two times, but seven times. And on the seventh time, the Bible says Joshua blew his trumpet. You're not getting the message. When you blow your trumpet, it's like praising God. When you blow your trumpet, it's like worshiping God. When you blow your trumpet, I need somebody to blow their trumpet today. And when Joshua blew the trumpet, the walls came tumbling down. Come on, somebody. Before your Jericho falls, I need somebody to blow their trumpet and say, I'm a praise you anyhow. Lord, you've been good to me. You've been better than better than better than good. I'm going to bless you when I get up in the morning. I'm going to bless you when I go to bed at night. I'm going to bless you when I got good things. I'm going to bless you when I don't have anything. I'm going to bless you when I'm broke. I'm going to bless you when I'm rich. I'm going to bless you when I got a job. I'm going to bless you when I'm unemployed. Let everything that has breath praise ye the Lord. Hannah worshiped God in verse number 19 before the baby came. Can you imagine what her praise was like after the baby came? Can you imagine what her hallelujahs were like after Samuel? God, you heard my prayer. You gave me a baby boy. I thank you, God. Here's the point. God heard her prayer. God gave her a baby. God gave her a baby boy. Hannah paid her vow to the Lord. She said, Lord, if you give me a baby, I will give them back to you. But some of us do conditional praying. If you do this for me, God, I'll do this for you. But here's my point. I don't think God wants us to be conditional prayers. I believe that even if God had not opened Hannah's womb and given Hannah a baby, she still would have kept on worshiping. Come on, somebody. I thank God today that even if God doesn't answer my prayer, He's already answered enough prayers that I'm going to praise Him every chance I get, because He's been good to me. And I know he hasn't only been good to me, but he's been good to somebody else in this sanctuary. And whether he answers another prayer, I need somebody to lift up holy hands and say, I'm going to be like Hannah. I'm going to bless you anyhow. I'm going to bless you anyhow. But Hannah gave the baby back to the temple. And here's my point with this thing. Because some of us may ask, but you prayed for the baby. Hannah? No, she said, if you give me a child, I will give him back to you. Come on, somebody. And here's my prayer. Even after she prayed for a baby, even after she got the baby, she was true to her word to God to give the baby back to God. And I just have this thing in my sanctified imagination that the reason Hannah trusted God so much, because if he opened my womb one time, he can open my womb another time. If he gave me one baby, he can give me another baby. Come on, somebody. Hannah did not praise God for the creation. Hannah praised God because he was the creator. And far too many of us get caught up on the creation, on the blessing, as opposed to looking at the blessor. And I just stopped by to tell someone that no matter what you are going through in your life, and I know it's Mother's Day, so Mother, let me speak to you right now. Whatever you're going through in your marriage, whatever you're going through with your children, whatever you're going through on your job, whatever you're going through in your body, whatever you're going through in your mind, whatever difficulty you are bearing, I want you first to tell God all about it. And secondly, I want you to praise him before your breakthrough happens. And thirdly, I want you to praise him even more after your breakthrough happens. But fourthly, I don't want you to ever stop praising the Lord, because he is worthy of our praise. And so Hannah understood her difficulty. Hannah was defiant and determined not to listen to anybody else but God. And God heard her prayer, and Hannah did what she was told to do, or what she promised to do. But again, if I were to leave you with anything, it is to leave you with what happens in chapter number 2. Chapter number 2 is a praise song that Hannah offers unto the Lord. I didn't put it on the screen. I don't have time to really go into it in depth. But suffice it to say that when Hannah got blessed, she broke out in a song. And I don't know what your song is, and your song may not be my song, but I'm just convinced that when the Lord blesses you like that, when the Lord opens up the windows of heaven and pours you out a blessing, you don't have room enough to receive it. You just can't hold it to yourself. You gotta open up your mouth. You gotta lift up your hands. You gotta tell somebody about the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. When the Lord blesses you, Mother, when the Lord blesses you, Father, I need you to be bold in your praise. If you were to go to a Laker game and shouted and jumped and gave high five because Kobe hit a winning point, if you can do that at a Laker game or a Sixer game, how much more can you give God some praise when the Lord has opened up a window of heaven and poured out a blessing that you don't have room enough to receive? So my point is, we're quick to give praise in so many other areas of our lives. How much more do we not give God praise for the awesome things that he has done in our lives? Hannah's story is absolutely compelling. It is compelling because it challenges me in my faithfulness. Because all of us go through our difficulties. All of us, not all of us, are so defiant to not listen to what other folk have to say. And right there is where I hope someone takes the message. Don't listen to other folk. Listen to God. after God has blessed you, in whatever way He's going to bless you, I want you to be devoted that much more to what God has to give or what God has done. But even if He doesn't do another thing, He's already done enough. And that's the part that I hope someone hears today in the name of Jesus. Hannah, I absolutely believe, would have kept worshiping God even if He didn't give her a baby. And that's what I want for all of us, to be true worshipers, true devotion believers, that God hears, God will answer in His time. And until He does, our job is to continue to be faithful and to praise Him every chance we get. Are we thankful today for what the Lord has done? In the name of Jesus, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Well, everyone standing to their feet. If you're here today and this message was for you, if you know that this message was for you, my prayer today is that you would step out and say, Lord, I hear You. I hear You. I'm going to step out and believe You and nobody else. And so on this Mother's Day 2012, the message is for everybody, not just mothers. But mothers, you have a particular reality today, because I know how many of you have been on bended knee for family and friends and marriages and children. Keep on believing. Keep on praying. Keep on worshiping in Jesus' name. Deacons and deaconesses and clergy, go out and help me extend an invitation to Christian discipleship today. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Choir's going to sing two invitations. If you don't have a church home, we absolutely want you to come and share with us as a member of Shiloh. I say that unequivocally. I say that unabashedly. We want you to be churched, and we are not perfect, but we believe we are a faithful church trying to be about God's business. So if you're looking for a church home, I don't think you're going to find one that much better. And so my prayer is that you would come and you'd share with us at this particular branch of Zion. But more importantly than membership is relationship. And so if you don't know the Lord for yourself, Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I absolutely believe that the uniqueness of Christianity is that we believe in a God who is our Father. And the way you've come to know that Father is through His Son. And so if you don't know the Father, if you want to know the Father, we want to introduce you to His Son Jesus, and that's how you will know the Father. I came that you may have life and have it more abundantly, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. God wants someone to be free today from bondage and strongholds, and so He's calling you, step out of where you are and step into where He wants you to be. Give us your hand and give God your heart. Choir's going to go ahead and sing at this time.